Hey there, folks. You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 44.
This episode is sponsored by Tanduay Rum. Established in the Philippines in 1854, Tanduay is the world's largest rum producer and winner of over 170 international medals in the past four decades, including Brand of the Year in London's World Branding Awards rum category from 2015 to 2017 and Rum Brand Champion of the World by thespiritsbusiness.com in 2015. As sponsor of the Inside the Desert Oasis Room podcast, and the toast to Master Ninja Ray Buen at the legendary Tiki Tea in Los Angeles, California, Tanduay Rum is the perfect companion to celebrate all things tiki. For more information, check out their webpage at TanduayUS.com or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at TanduayUSA. This podcast is also sponsored in part by the Royal Hawaiian. Founded in Laguna Beach, California in 1947, the Royal Hawaiian is South Orange County's premier tropical drink and dining destination. Come try their signature cocktail, the Lapu Lapu, a delicious combination of tropical fruit juices with a generous float of dark spirits, or other island-inspired favorites like ahi tuna poke or the dynamite crab-crusted mahi-mahi. Enjoy their delicious brunch or drop in for happy hour from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. daily for drink specials and more. To make a reservation, visit royalhawaiianlb.com.
Today we speak with Jason Alexander. Jason Alexander, along with his partner Robin Murphy, are the owners of Tacoma Cabana. If you're a tiki person, I think somewhere deep inside you fantasize about opening your own tiki bar. And in this episode, we talk about how Jason and Robin went from running a coffee shop to owning and managing one of the best tiki bars in the Pacific Northwest. Jason tells the story of how they took Via Cafe and turned it into Tacoma Cabana. I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. And if you did, please show your support by helping us out with a donation. Stop by PolynesianPop.podomatic.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter how small, keeps the podcast coming to you every week. Here he is, guys, Jason Alexander, the Tiki Commando. Hey there.
How's it going?
Is this Tiki Commando?
This is Jason.
What's up, Jason? How you doing?
Not much, dude.
Good.
I'm awake. Having some coffee, getting to my...
Did you have a long night? Were you working last night?
We're always closed Sunday. We're always closed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
People say we have Tiki Tea hours.
Yeah. That's exactly Tiki Tea hours. Yeah, you're right.
I like it. I never, ever want to open on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday ever again the rest of my entire life.
Hey, if you never have to, then why would you?
Quality of life. You know, work hard, play harder.
That's right. That's right. I think a lot of people forget that quality of life. It's more important to enjoy your life than to get up and go to work every day. I don't think that we were put on this earth to get up and go to work every day. So, you know, the people that brag about how many hours they put in and how hard they work every week, I think they're missing the point.
Oh, exactly. It's no fun. It's like, I like the hours we keep because it concentrates your business on those 4 days. So people know that if they want to go there, they have to be there on these certain days at these certain hours.
Right.
And not, you know, they can't just show up whenever they feel like it and have a drink. You know, it's got to be planned out in a little bit of a destination.
Right.
And then that allows me to have a life as well.
Yep. And if you don't do that for yourself, no one's going to do that for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and we're at a position to where we can do that. We've actually been doing it for the last 5 years since we opened, but I don't ever want to change it.
Yeah.
And it's nice for my staff, too, because there's no... we don't have multiple ships and multiple crews. And... you know, they have
their set days off. They can plan what they can do in their personal lives because they know what days the bar is closed.
Exactly. They don't have to go, I can't. I have to work this Sunday and Monday and cover somebody else's shift.
Right.
You know, that just doesn't happen.
Right. Well, hey, dude, thanks for joining the podcast.
I know. I'm sorry we couldn't make this happen sooner. And
that's
last
okay.
time I was there, we totally forgot about it because we were having so much fun.
Well, I think part of it, too, was that the last time you were at the Desert Oasis Room, you had limited time. So, and I appreciate you driving all the way out to where I live. I don't exactly live around the corner from everything in LA or Orange County. So it was cool for you to drive out. It was neat to make a drink or two for you. And I hope you liked them. But I think that we were...
Oh, yeah. No, I still dream about that blood punch.
Oh, I'm glad you like that. You know what? Everybody likes that blood punch.
That was really good.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks for that compliment. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think we were pressed for time.
I would drive all the way back out to the Desert Oasis Room just to have one of those.
What a compliment. Well, you know what? After we get off this recording, I'll send you the recipe so you can make them in your bar. How's that?
That would be outstanding. I will keep your secret safe.
All right. Awesome. I wanted to start from the beginning of how you got this whole thing started, because it's an interesting story when I heard it. And I think that, you know, a lot of people have wanted to do what you did. So I think it'd be kind of neat for people to hear how it all began. So let's start with talking about your background before Tacoma Cabana. What were you doing before that?
Well, before that, I was a carpenter. I would build commercial buildings, a lot of like junior high and middle schools, and then odd projects off and on, like, you know, maybe a custom home or build out a tenant spot and for like coffee shops and little things like that. And that led me to meet Robin, because I was building out a coffee shop that she was to work at. And so that's how we got together. And then...
Now, I knew about the coffee shop. I didn't know about the carpentry stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Right after I got out of high school, I actually enlisted in the Marine Corps and did that for 4 years. And then when I got out of the Marine Corps down there in Southern California, I came back home here to Washington, and that's where I got a job as a carpenter working for my dad, actually, who is a contractor.
Okay, cool. Well, let me say thank you for your service. Let me start off by saying
My pleasure, man.
The coffee shop. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that the Marine Corps was my college. I never had a desire to go to college or sit behind a desk, so
right.
I was like working with my hands and making things.
Right. That's cool.
So, the
coffee shop. This is the part that I found really fascinating. So I know that prior to Tacoma Cabana, you guys were running a coffee shop.
Yes.
And
so like I said, long story short, how I met Robin was I was building out a coffee shop that she was just going to be an employee at. And after being an employee there for a year, she decided that she wanted to do her own coffee shop again, because she'd had a couple in the past. And at that time, I was just kind of burnt out, you know, being outside doing hard, heavy manual labor and whatnot. So I asked her if I could come along and help her run a coffee shop.
And how did that go? You guys were doing that for a while?
It went pretty well.
Okay.
It went pretty well. We started looking for a spot and going through the process. And at the time, I wasn't really into making coffee. So I asked her, instead of me doing coffee at nighttime, if I could have a small little bar in there.
Yeah.
And it took a while for her to relent and say okay, but she finally did. And so we had this little coffee shop by day, and then a very, very tiny, small, like, probably the bar side of the coffee shop was maybe 300-400 square feet.
Okay. And this was all motivated, from what I heard, this was motivated from a trip to the Big Island, right? Like, you guys went to Hawaii, and then you went and saw Kualimaluna?
Well, yeah, that would come later.
Okay.
When me and Robin opened up a little coffee shop and put the bar in there, I had never bartended before. I had no idea what drinks were.
So, see, that's the part that I found interesting.
And recipes and how to bartend, so I kind of had to fumble my way through drinks for a little while. I'm completely self-taught. I've never worked at another bar.
That's the part that I find fascinating because, you know, a lot of the people in the tiki world are... they would call themselves, I'm sure, amateur bartenders, right? Home bartenders. Everyone's kind of trying to learn the tricks of the trade. And when you're not working in a specific trade, you don't pick it up as easily or as quickly sometimes. So, you know, as somebody that was working in the front of a coffee shop and then you open this bar and then now you've got a bar, but then you're still also learning, you know, that particular skill.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I don't think it's intimidating or as difficult as one might think, bartending. You know, I mean, it takes a little bit to build up your confidence to say, yeah, I know what I'm doing, but I think that was probably the hardest part about it was building the confidence to actually not monetarily sell a drink, but to actually sell the drink and give somebody something that was good and worth their time and their money.
Right. Now, when you were first learning, what was your process? Were you basically just starting from scratch, or did you start with using like a drink recipe that you thought, well, let me try tweaking this and try tweaking that, or were you doing a combination of both?
Well, I had a couple of very simple bartending books that I kind of, you know, I would glance at every now and then, but you know, I just kind of sat down and was like, okay, let's make a margarita. I think that was one of the first drinks I did. For some reason I picked, you know, I was like, I'm going to master this drink first. And so I just started playing around with the components, you know, obviously the lime, the sweetener, the orange liqueur, and the tequila.
Right.
And I kept messing around with the ratios until I found something that I liked, and I found something that the guests would continually order. And then, you know, I would move on to the next drink.
Okay, so it was just kind of systematic, one at a time.
At the very beginning, when I didn't know a lot.
And were you doing this, like, in front of guests, like, while you had the bar open for business?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a poker face, you know, I wouldn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, I guess what I was asking is, like, were you practicing behind the scenes, or were you, like, just doing it live, you know?
No, back the first year of our coffee shop, I was doing it right there on the line of scrimmage,
right.
You know, it was like, I didn't have a choice.
yeah. So, what I'm curious about is, I'm sure that the coffee shop had its own kind of drinks, right? So were you doing that kind of same stuff in the front part of the coffee shop before you were doing the thing in the bar in the back?
Well, I mean, about the first year the coffee shop was open, you know, the drinks were rudimentary, and I had no idea about the whole tiki thing. This was 7 years ago, almost 8 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
that this all started for me. So back in 2010 is when this happened. So 2010, I'm just, like I said, career change from manual labor and trying to figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life and try and teach myself cocktails and how to make cocktails and pay the rent.
Yeah.
All at the same time. The first year open, you know, there wasn't any tiki drinks because I didn't know about it. I was just trying to teach myself the basics, you know, your Long Island iced teas and margaritas and whiskey sours and rum and cokes, you know, like I said, very, very rudimentary cocktails.
Right.
And it wasn't until we took a trip to the Big Island of Hawaii that I discovered these long-lost tropical exotic and tiki drinks.
So when you opened the bar, it wasn't even about creating a tiki bar or a tropical cocktail bar. It was just a bar.
It was just a bar. We were just trying to pair a drink or pair pills.
Wow. Okay. I thought it was always that you went to
Kolemaluna,
came back, and then you were going to open your tiki bar. Oh, okay. So now I get it. All right. What I was getting to earlier was with the drinks that you had at the coffee shop. And what I meant by that was the actual coffee shop itself. I'm sure you had custom drinks there, right? I mean, like, you're up in the Seattle area, so the coffee shop thing is, that's kind of the birthplace of all that, right? So I know that some of the coffee shops down here, they have like their own specialty drinks. It's kind of like a bar, right? But it's not, they're not alcoholic drinks. They're actually different kinds of, I don't know, for lack of a better term, coffee flavored smoothies, you know, some different kinds of mochas and different kinds of,
The frappuccinos,
right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, our establishment, you know, basically did the whole coffee drinks in the morning with your pastries and breakfast sandwiches, and then we had a lunchtime, and then we had an evening time, which was the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through all three phases of,
and they were all different
for the most part.
Okay. And so I guess what I was curious about is if anything from the coffee shop made its way into the bar menu, you know, like, did you take,
I would dabble because the coffee shop was, the coffee bar was literally right around the corner from the bar. So I would play with making coffee, cocktails that were fortified with various spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really took off. Like I said, that the first year I was there, I was just trying to get my feet and figure out how to make drinks and tend to the guests and all that. So
it was just trial by fire.
A lot of throw everything at the wall and see what sticks.
Right. Yeah, that's real world learning.
So, but I didn't, you know, I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do? We got tequila bars across the street. There's sports bars across the street. There's, you know, a myriad of whiskey bars everywhere. So I was like, what's going to be my spirit to focus on and my style of drink to focus on? And I wouldn't figure that out until, you know, a year later, with a trip to Hawaii. So long story short, on Hawaii, my dad, being a general contractor, picked up a condo out on the Big Island and a fishing boat, and so his downtime was spent traveling to Hawaii and going fishing out there. So we would go a couple of times a year, and from, like, this was back in 2001, so a full, you know, 9 years before we opened the coffee shop.
Right.
So I've been going out to the Big Island for almost a decade, and, you know, I've had the Mai Tais and all the tourist cocktails to the point where I was like, these are horrible drinks, I can't drink them anymore, they're, you know, mm-hmm. I get it, they're making me sick,
yeah,
basically. And I drank, so I drank beer for a long time.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and it wasn't until me and Robin and my dad made a trip out to the Big Island in September of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Just right after my mom had passed away, the three of us went out there to kind of de-stress and relax. And when we got there, we kept hearing this ad on the radio for this place called the Akole Moloma Tiki Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And we all just kind of laughed it off because, you know, for the last 9 years, we'd been to every Hawaiian bar there and never had a good experience. The radio ad was so relentless that we decided, okay, let's go check out this Akole Moloma Tiki Lounge and see what it's all about. And we arrived there. It was kind of off the tourist path in the little alleyway, and walked inside. And it was unlike anything I'd ever seen before, you know, bamboo and all kinds of crazy masks and a water feature and a style of music that I had never had no idea about. And me and Robin were scrambling on our phones, Googling everything, and like, what is this music? And you know, who made these, who painted these paintings? And it was Doug Horn and Tiki Aki Orchestra. And I think there was some, he had some Bosco masks on the wall. And we were just floored and blown away by the look of this place. And we sat down and we ordered a round of drinks, and I was like, all right, well, you know, I'll have a Mai Tai, I guess. It was the only drink on the menu I was familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hesitant to order it, just figuring I was going to get the same the same junk that they serve across the street to all the tourists. And lo and behold, it wasn't. You know, this cup of crushed ice came out, and with this like brown murky water in it.
Right.
I had never seen a drink this color before.
Right.
I'd never seen a brown colored drink before. I'm used to these, you know, right. rainbow colors.
Right. Right.
And part of me was slightly offended. It was like, how dare you serve me this cup of brown murky dirty water?
Yeah.
You know, this drink looks horrible. And I took one sip, and it was game over. As soon as I took a sip of that Mai Tai, I was like, that's what it's supposed to taste like.
Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting that even with the bright colored drinks that you had before, you knew that it somehow was not done correctly. And then when you get the brown drink, you're thinking, well, what the hell is this? And then when you tasted it, you're like, okay, so this tastes wonderful. This tastes right.
Well, I mean, it was balanced. It was flavorful. You know, you could taste all the components, the rums and the lime and the almond syrup. And we went through and drank everything on their menu, top to bottom, all the drinks, ate all the food, went back there twice a day, every day for the entire 10 days we were out there. And then we came back a couple of months later and did the same thing over again. And, you know, when I got back to our coffee shop, I was like, okay, I got to make that Mai Tai. And
mm-hmm.
Robin bought me the spiral-bound grog log, the old one.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled that out of the drawer, and I started going through it. And, you know, I was like, rum's awesome. Mai Tais are great. I got to learn how to make all these drinks. And it took me a couple of months of practice. You know, I had to figure out how to make real grenadine and cinnamon syrup and... And there wasn't any falernum being distributed in our state back then, so I had to make my own falernum.
Okay.
And just source all these ingredients, you know, that weren't readily available 5 or 6 years ago. 6 years ago now.
Yeah, so you were making everything from scratch, which made everything taste better. And you had to do that
right,
out of necessity.
I had to, yeah, it was a total necessity. And then I started collecting rum on top of that, too.
Yeah.
And so, there's, you know, this little coffee shop by day, and then, I mean, there was nothing tiki about our coffee shop except for the drink menu and the drinks.
Right, right.
And because, six years ago, nobody was really doing that, especially up here in the Northwest, that I knew of anyway. I could be totally wrong, but, you know, to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah.
And it just really took off. And to the point where we stopped opening for breakfast and we stopped doing coffee and then finally we stopped opening for lunch. And it was just a nighttime spot where people would come and get zombies and Navy grogs and Mai Tais and whatnot.
So the coffee shop's completely gone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So...
Yeah, once I started making those drinks, like I said, you know, we stopped closing in the morning for coffee and breakfast, and then eventually we stopped closing in the afternoon for lunch.
Right.
And just, it was a nighttime focus. And because like I said, those, you know, those drinks really took off big time to the point where we didn't need to be open for breakfast and lunch.
Right.
And then we outgrew our spot to which we said, okay, you know, this is too big for the small little space. And, like, we either need to do this for real or find something else to do. And that's when we found the spot to where we opened up the cabana.
Okay. And then that was the official Tacoma Cabana, because before it was just a bar at the back of the coffee shop.
Exactly.
This episode is sponsored in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in original and anchor hold, get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, ground zero for tropical drinks. This episode is also sponsored by Tiki Oasis, located at the Crown Plaza in San Diego, California, from August 10th through August 13th, and celebrating the island lifestyle. Tiki Oasis is the largest and longest-running tiki festival in the world. Enjoy four nights of DJs, bands, educational seminars, a classic car show, and a marketplace with over 100 vendors carrying everything from mugs, music, decor, clothing, and more. For ticket information or hotel reservations, visit tikioasis.com.
Now, I hear so many positive things about your bar, which you've probably heard also. And from what I understand, you guys are pretty busy, right? You guys stay busy most of the time, don't you?
Our weekdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays are decent. We probably fill half the space. And then on Friday and Saturday, summertime's our slow time, but Friday and Saturday during the winter, it can be a 2 to 3 hour wait to get in the door.
Holy moly. That's interesting that it's busier in the wintertime than in the summertime, because we associate tropical drinks with warmer weather.
Right. Well, I mean, the winter times up here, I think we set a record this year for 140 days of straight rain with no sunshine.
Oh, my God.
So people need an escape up here.
Okay, so that makes sense.
And then during the summertime, because we're surrounded by water and islands, most people go down to the waterfront restaurants.
Oh, okay, all right.
We are not a waterfront establishment. So.
Okay, that makes sense.
So yeah, our busy season is the opposite of what everybody thinks. Like from November until May, we're pretty much kicking ass. And then June, July, August, and September, it's a ghost town.
Oh, wow. Well, if I ever make up there in the summer, I'm going to have to make sure to stop by. I haven't been in that area in a while. I have family up in Bothell and Mill Creek, but it's been a while since I've been up there. And the last time I was up there was before you guys existed, so it's been a few years. So I really need to find my way back up there. You know what? What's curious to me is, as of somebody that has been in this tiki world for a long time, I think, you know, a common fantasy of a tiki person is to own their own tiki bar business. And, you know, you were in carpentry before you were doing this. Did you ever see yourself becoming a tiki bar owner? Was that ever in your plan? Or is this something that just happened through a stroke of, you know, decisions that you made after you met Robin?
Yeah, basically that. You know, I knew after I left high school, I knew I was only going to go to the Marine Corps for 4 years, just as my college. I mean, my folks were very poor back then and didn't have any money to do anything. And they're like, you know, hey, it's time to go, you know, figure something out for yourself. We'll help you as best as we can, but we don't have any money to send you to college with. And
right.
So that's fine. I don't want to go anyway. So I knew that the Marine Corps was only going to be a 4-year stint for me so that I could have some college money and something to do when I got out. And by the time I got out, my dad's contracting business had really blown up. And so he put me to work swinging a hammer, and I was like, you know, this is awesome. I love my job. I love, you know, building things and creating things for people, and the pay is really good. And I was like, I'd probably do this the rest of my life, and apparently not.
Right. Yeah, you know, if there's one thing that I've learned from talking to people on this podcast is that life never usually turns out the way that you think it's going to. You never usually end up where you think you're going to end up. You always end up somewhere else. This is an example of that. So, you know, as somebody that just jumped into this thing, basically, with, you know, both feet first, and you know, you were mixing drinks, you know, like you said, in the line of fire, right?
Uh-huh.
What would you say that you learned the most from opening your own bar? And whether that is in relation to people or the drinks or the tiki or whatever that is, what would you say that is that you learned the most from that experience?
Well, I think definitely, you know, taking care of your guests is the most important thing. You know, even if you serve a subpar cocktail or it's just, you know, beer and shots, people come to the bar for the entire experience and the way the bartender and the staff makes them feel. You know, I don't necessarily say, hey, I want to go to this bar. I was like, hey, let's go see this bartender tonight. You know,
oh, okay, there you go.
Give me a shot and a beer.
Yeah, okay.
So I think a lot of it has to do with the guests, and then, you know, cocktails second.
Okay. Like a quality product second. Yeah. It's quality service first. Service always trumps the product, is what you're saying.
Most of the time, yes.
Okay.
Not all the time.
Okay.
If, you know, drinks and food are inedible and undrinkable, I'm not going to come back. But I mean, if all somebody's offering up is dark rum and pineapple juice or a shot of beer, but you know, the place is awesome and the staff is wonderful and happy to see you and taking care of you, you know, I can go back to that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't disagree with what you're saying, because you know, we had places out here like the Bahuka that the food wasn't great and the drinks weren't great, but it was family run and we always got good service there. They always treated you well, and you add it all together, it was the sum of all parts. You know, you had the environment, then yeah, the food is mediocre and the drinks are mediocre, but they had the Hawaiian music playing and you had this really great atmosphere with decent service, or more than decent service. You know, we had some people there that we had as favorite servers. There were people there that you could ask them to light whatever you were being served on fire. They would light anything on fire, from your French fries to your salad, you know. So it wasn't just the cocktails. So, yeah, so I don't disagree with what you're saying.
I mean, and that's not always the case. You know, I've been to places where all these drinks are awesome, but everything else sucks.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Do I really want to return just for a really good drink and have everything else be crappy? Like I said, I always wanted to make sure to take care of the guests first.
Yeah.
You know, I think learning to read your guests and see how they are and what they like, and, you know, the whole golden rule of treat people the way you want to be treated, I think that rule doesn't work for me. I think you need to treat people the way that they wanted to be, the way that they want to be treated, you know, because just because I like to be treated a certain way or served a certain way at a restaurant or a bar doesn't mean necessarily that the person sitting to my left enjoys that as well.
Right.
So I've always tried to make it a focus to try and pay attention to my guests and read them. And some, you know, it takes a couple of times for them to come in to figure out how they like to be served and how they like to be treated. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Guest service and quality cocktails.
So if you could do something differently, what would you do differently? If you could start all over again.
If I could start all over again, I would not rent a 5,500 square foot space that is completely chopped up and compartmentalized.
Oh, yeah.
Our space is very big, and it's basically sectioned out
into
like four different spaces, and the bar is very small.
Right.
There's only 8 seats at the bar, and then we have 100 seats on the floor.
So, oh, wow.
Everybody wants to sit at the bar, but, you know, and if you're sitting on the floor, only about 20% of those seats can even see the bar. So 80% of the people there have no idea that there's even a bar in there.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I asked you that question for a reason, because I wanted to lead into some of the changes that I think your customers are going to see in the future. Is this something we can talk about?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, awesome. So you were hinting to me...
Nothing's off the table. Nothing's off the table. I'll tell you everything.
Okay, great. So you were hinting to me the last time you were here at the Desert Oasis Room, and prior to this discussion, that Tacoma Cabana may be no more.
Well, that's not entirely true. I think the cabana is not going anywhere for a while.
Okay.
But we have been looking for a new spot for almost 10 months now. Just a secondary location. I think everything that we've learned in the past 6 years and 5 years running the cabana, we really want to focus and concentrate those concepts and ideas and designs and drinks into something a little more hardcore. And I don't want to... Hardcore is not exactly the right word, but...
More...
Just
authentic,
concentrate
traditional?
Our vision into something... No. And not that either. Just, I guess...
Specific?
I don't know how to say it.
Okay, something more focused,
right,
or something
a little more specific, something more focused and concentrated and specific, and into a smaller spot and not 5,500 square feet. So
okay.
We've been looking for like 2,000 feet or under, and in various locations, and we just signed the lease on a spot last week.
Oh, great! Congratulations. So how far away is that from...
We're really excited.
Is it close to where the cabana is today?
Yeah, it's a few blocks away. The cabana is in the bar district of downtown Tacoma. So there's a couple of blocks where, you know, all the bars and all the restaurants are. And it's awesome because you get to see a lot of new people all the time. You know, people just are out bar hopping and will wander in. And some of them get it and some of them don't get it, but we've always wanted something, you know, a little more exclusive and kind of off the beaten path, to where you kind of have to find it a little bit. It's not necessarily hidden, but it's not, your average bar hopper's not going to find it.
Okay. So this is going to coexist with Tacoma Cabana then?
Right, because I think we'll... potentially maybe just open the cabanas on Friday and Saturday nights.
Okay.
Just because in the bar district where we're at is only ever busy on Friday and Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go a couple of blocks away, you'll find our new little hidden treasure.
Okay, very cool.
With a completely different drink menu and completely different food program. So whereas the cabana is a little more like Hawaiian and whimsical and islandy, we're going to take it a little more dark and nautical and adventurous.
Okay, so is it still going to be tiki themed, or is it going to be more of a...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all we know.
Yeah.
tiki and nautical.
Do you have a name for it yet?
The name of the new place is called Devil's Reef.
Devil's Reef. Yeah, you told me that before. Yeah, so that's pretty cool, man. That just the name by itself, I'm already picturing dark spaces, mystery, that kind of stuff, you know? So, I can't wait to see that one now.
So I'll probably by the time you come up here, that's where you're going to be going.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. Now, when is your target date for that?
We're going to try and shoot for early fall, October, probably late October.
Okay.
If not sooner. Late October at the very latest.
Okay.
So like I said, we've been searching for 10 months, so we have a lot of the stuff done. The only thing we have to do is just play the waiting game and for the permits and stuff to come in.
Right.
So I shouldn't say permits, I should say the liquor license and health department license.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's certainly a process in opening a business like that. When you said permits, I mean, that's... I just automatically assume like you know, building permits for building out the space and you know, getting
the space we found was a coffee shop of all things.
Ah. Full circle.
Right. So it's a coffee shop. So the skeleton's there, the plumbing, the electrical's there. We just gotta, you know, build a bar is gonna be the majority of the work.
Right.
So build the bar, decorate it, and some other things, and there'll be a few surprises too along the way that we're really excited about.
Very cool. Well, you'll have to keep me posted because I'm dying to see what it's going to look like too, and have the drinks.
Well, I mean, this is a little concept that I've had going around for a while, and you know, it's got a whole backstory to it and everything. You know, the devil's reef. There's this tropical reef out in the middle of the ocean at this place called Point Nemo, which is an actual Point Nemo is an actual place out in the South Pacific where it's the furthest point away from land in any direction you can get.
Oh, wow.
So there's this reef out there that protects this sunken city, and boats and navigators try and search out the city for its treasures, only to get shipwrecked on this reef. And then the inhabitants of this sunken city collect all the flotsam and jetsam and wood from these wrecked boats and build a little tiki bar inside of their sunken city.
So that really sets a nice visual for what it sounds like you're going to be doing.
Yes.
Very cool. Well, with that said, I think that's a great way to end our session here. I'd like to encourage everybody that is in the Seattle and Tacoma area to stop by Tacoma Cabana and say hello. So stop in, say hi to Jason and Robin, order a couple of their cocktails. I hear they're excellent. I apologize, I still haven't made it up there, but one of these days.
Well, like I said, my two priorities were guest services and the absolute best cocktails I could make.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to experience that sometime in the future. Now, let me ask you, are you going to Tiki Oasis?
We will be at Tiki Oasis. Unfortunately, we didn't luck out, and we don't have tickets, but I hear the vending's open to the general public.
Okay.
And regardless, we'll be there. We just want to hang out and say hi and see everybody, and if we end up drinking at a bar somewhere, we will.
You should put your name. I think that they have a waiting list for the tickets, but you should put your name on their page and just say you're looking for tickets, because people are starting to sell their tickets now. You know, now that it's getting closer, people are saying, like, you know, oh, I can't make it after all, and they're looking for people to buy their tickets. So on the Tiki Oasis
Facebook I'll go check that out.
Sure. Put your name up there and just make a post and say, hey, if anybody's looking to sell tickets, I'm interested, and hopefully somebody will reply to you, you know. But I know in the past week or two, I've been seeing people post that they're selling tickets.
All right.
Yeah.
I will go check it out for sure. But regardless, either way, with tickets or no tickets, we'll at least be in the area.
Awesome. Well, I want to make sure that I say hello to you guys. So send me a text when you are in San Diego, and let's see if we can find a way to get together.
Yeah. No, that sounds awesome. I'd love to go sit down and have a cocktail with you somewhere.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Next time we're at Anaheim and I actually have a car, I need to make my way back out to your place.
Yeah, you know what? We'll figure that one out. The next time you're in Anaheim, let me know. If you don't have a car, I'll come get you.
Sure. So like I said, last three times we've been there, we just grabbed an Uber from the airport to the hotel and haven't had a vehicle. So.
Yeah, or even we don't even have to come out to my place. I mean, shoot, I'll come out and I'll hang out with you wherever you are. You know, if you're at Trader Sam's or whatever, then that's where we're going to hang out. You know.
Sure. Well, I think next time we're going down there. When are we going back? I'm not sure. It might be September, but we got to make one more pilgrimage to Oceana Cards.
Okay.
So.
Well, make sure I know.
I won't have a car. Yeah. I'll send you a message when I'm heading down there. I don't remember the exact dates. My wife books all the tickets.
Okay,
cool. She tells me when to pack my bag and drive her to the airport.
Well, hey, I appreciate you taking time out of your day off and talking to me about not only Tacoma Cabana, but all the new stuff that you're doing. And it sounds exciting. And I look forward to hanging out with you guys at Tiki Oasis. So
the feeling's most definitely mutual. Thanks for the phone call. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise. Is there anything you want to promote while you're still on the line with me?
I think we covered everything pretty well, man.
Okay, cool. All right, well.
Although I'll send, when we get off the phone here, I'll send you a treat, and I'll send you over a rough draft of the Devil's Reprint menu.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see that.
You got it.
Awesome. Okay, well, with that said, cheers, mahalo, and aloha.
Until next time, man, be safe out there.
Yeah, you too. Tell Robin we said hello.
I will most certainly do that.
Great.
Cheers.
Cheers.